Amen. Praise God. If you have your Bibles tonight, I want to turn to two passages of Scripture. We're going to go first of all to Psalms 144. And then directly after that, we're going to go to 1 Timothy chapter number 6. But we're going to begin here at Psalms 144. Praise the Lord. Amen. If the Lord helps us tonight, amen, I won't be short-winded. If the Lord doesn't help us, I still may be short-winded. Amen. If the Lord helps us, I may be long-winded. If the Lord doesn't help us, I still may be long-winded. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Beginning Psalms 144, and let's read verse number 15. The writer says, happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Amen. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. 1 Timothy chapter number 6. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter number 6, and we're going to begin reading at verse number 6. Paul writing to young preacher. He says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Praise God. And I'm simply going to take my subject out of Psalms 144. And for the next few minutes of time, I want to just preach. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's just talk to the Lord and ask Him to help us here today. Heavenly Father, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Savior. We love you. We praise you. Thank you, Jesus. We exalt you. We exalt you and glorify you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord. We worship you, Jesus. We praise you and magnify you today. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Amen and amen. God bless you, and you may be seated tonight. Praise the Lord. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Amen. That is a clause, a phrase, a statement, a sentence, a declaration, and that should be published everywhere. Obviously, we know that it's not going to be, but in reality, it should be written in the halls of Congress and in the House of the Parliament of the Nations. It should be written all over the Senate and in the chambers of the Supreme Court. It should be written in the Council Chamber of the United Nations. It should be the core of the curriculum of our schools. It should be the first essential and inviolate plank in every political platform. It should be the conviction of every politician and statesman. It should be the motto of every king, president, and prime minister. It should be drilled into the consciousness of every citizen. It should be written on the table of every human heart. Happy is the man whose God is the Lord. I've just come tonight to dispel an illusion that some people acquire in living for God or coming unto God. For you understand that when people come unto the Lord, typically they do not come because that they have need of nothing, but they come simply because that they have need of something. And sometimes they don't understand exactly what they are looking for. They don't know what they are searching for, but they seem to find it in the church. They come in brokenness, and God begins to put their broken lives back together. And surely the Bible teaches us that we are new creatures in Him, and that old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And another place it declares that we begin to walk in the newness of life. And in Titus, he even tells us that we have been regenerated by the working of the Holy Ghost. And so we've been completely transformed. We've been reprogrammed. And Paul would even allude to that in Romans chapter number 12. We are completely brand new individuals. And the new lease on life that is given unto us seems to bring an excitement, an air of joy, an air of happiness about us. And it can be very quickly that in this journey and this walk with God that we come under a false pretense that at all times of life that we are, and I'm going to use this word here, but that we are all supposed to be happy. And I just want you to know tonight that David just emphatically declares, happy is the man whose God is the Lord. There is no other saying with that. There is no other emphasis. There's no other stipulations. There's no prerequisites that's applied to that. He just simply says, happy is the man whose God is the Lord. Praise God. But oftentimes we get happiness and excitement mixed up. And we feel like being excited is the definition of being happy, and that if we are happy, then we are always going to be excited. And that if we are living for God, then living for God ought to produce happiness. And happiness ought to equate in excitement. And we all ought to be excited all of the time. But amen, God may have given you a new life, but amen, but you don't get out of life. You still got to be in this world. We're not of the world, though we are in this world. And it still rains on the just and the unjust the same. And you're going to face hardships. And just like the people that are in the world are going to face hardships. Amen. And you're going to face and experience mountaintops just like those that are in the world will experience mountaintops. And you're going to experience valleys just like everybody else is going to experience valleys. You're going to experience sunshine and rain, amen, and 82 degrees on Tuesday and snow on Wednesday, amen. But you know what? Everybody experienced that if they live anywhere around here. Praise God. That's just the way that it is. And so excitement does not always equate to happiness. Amen. Let me just tell you today, amen, that today's young people and in reality all of humanity have the ability to experience excitement more than any other generation in history. Amen. The young person can leave school and go home and can have his mind if he has any homework or doesn't have homework or gets done with his homework. Amen. He can have his mind captivated by things that are exciting, whether inside or outside. An individual coming home from work, amen, can make choices and begin to have, amen, excitement, amen, whether he stays at home or whether he goes out to eat and or whatever he does. But excitement seems to be just basically an arm's reach away from all of us. Excitement is a choice that we can take or that we can make. Amen. There is a list of exciting things that kids experience as long as there are hours in the days. And there are other lists of exciting things that adults can have as long as there are hours in the day. Praise God. But I want to remind you that excitement and happiness are two different things. And in reality, amen, they are so far apart, because excitement does not ever mean that an individual is happy. Praise God. Amen. Excitement lasts for a period of time. Amen. I wrote down that excitement, amen, is a moment, and happiness is a state of life. You can be happy, amen, and have your times of happiness and few moments of excitement along the way, but you can still be happy. But those people that do not, they don't have anything to be happy about. They have no hope, amen, but they choose use for the excitements and the lures of life. That's why the bars are filled completely full on a Friday night and a Saturday night. That's why, amen, alcohol and perversion and porn, amen, is set at such a high rate business money making, because they produce moments of excitement. You can look at a picture and become excited and never be happy. You can drive a certain car and have moments of excitement and yet not really experience what happiness is. Your excitement may be for about a month until that first payment comes due, and then your excitement begins to wean off, and before the payments are even over and done with, amen, you've lost, that has lost the lure of all of the quote-unquote happiness, and you're looking for something else. Solomon was a great picture painted unto us in the Bible of an individual who would find excitement or would search for happiness, and though that he had moments of excitement, he would let us know that he in reality was never completely happy. The Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter number 2, amen, Solomon said, I said in my heart, go to now, and I will prove with thee mirth, therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? I sought in my heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting my heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly till I might see what that was good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. Listen to everything that he did. He said, I made me great works. I builded houses. I planted vineyards. I made gardens and orchards. I planted trees in them and all kinds of fruits. I made pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth the trees. I got servants and maidens and had servants born in my house. I had great possessions, small, amen, great and small cattle, above all that were in Jerusalem. I gathered me silver and gold, peculiar treasures of kings of the provinces. I got men singers and women singers, and the delights of sons of men and musical instruments, and all of sorts. So I was great and increased with more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me, and whatsoever my eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy. My heart rejoiced in all of my labor, and this was the portion of my labor. Then I looked on the works that my hands had wrought, and all the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. Amen. Solomon was saying, in everything that you could possibly imagine, I looked for happiness, and I had a good time going down the ways. Amen. I was excited seeing the new house built. I was excited when I listened to the choir sing. I was excited when I heard the orchestra play. I was excited to partake of the fruit of the trees. I was excited to see, amen, the aquifers and the water ducts that was made to get them water over to those trees. I was excited by all the works of my hands. He said, but I never found happiness. It eluded me. Amen. It escaped me. No matter what I did, no matter how far I went. Amen. He began to talk and later would say, how am I any different than the poor man? How am I any different than the fool? He said, there is no difference in it. He said, because when I die, who's going to get my bass boat? Who's going to live in my house? Who's going to have my hunting rifles? Who's going to have all the choirs? Who's going to deal with all of that? I can take nothing with me. And I searched for happiness, and I was never able to find it. And the wise man said, let me tell you the whole sum of it all, and let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Amen. What a miracle. miserable man. But David, on the other hand, said, hey, I got a revelation. And Solomon had an opportunity to get that revelation from me. Amen. David was considered a man after God's own heart. David had a revelation. And David would say, one thing have I desired, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life or forever. I want you to think about that. That what David would say, one thing have I desired, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. We dwell there forever. David, do you realize that what you have asked for is physically impossible, spiritually impossible? We're talking Old Testament here. David was of the family of Jesse, which was of the tribe of Judah. They weren't allowed in the house of God. They weren't Levites. They didn't get to go into the sanctuaries. They didn't get to go into the holy place. They didn't get to go into the holies of holies. They didn't get to do all of those things. But David said, there's something that is within me that I understand, that what I am looking for is in there. In Psalms 23, he said that. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And he goes on down the line. He said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David said, wherever his presence is, that's where I'm going to be. I may not be able to go into that building over there. I may not be able to go into that tabernacle over there. But as close as I can get, I'm going to be there. Amen. And if he inhabits the praises of Israel, I'm going to play my harp. Amen. I'm going to bless the Lord. He said in another place, he said, I will walk into the sanctuary. He said, I'll lift my hands and bless the Lord. Amen. We don't understand all of that, but amen, what we understand is David knew where true happiness was going to be found. Amen. We're talking about two kings here. We're talking about two kings who could say go and they would go, come and people would come, do and people would do. Amen. They were men given unto authority. We're talking about a man that was considered to be, amen, Solomon was the most wise man to ever walk upon the face of the earth. And David was a man, amen, that was after God's own heart. So we have one that is given wisdom and one that just seeks happiness. And the happiness was being with the Lord. The happiness was being in the presence of the Lord. But Solomon was trying to find happiness and attribute all of his happiness to great wealth and all of the things that he possessed, the assets, things that he had. And yet there are people in this world that have this mentality that money defines happiness, and they just feel, if I can just get a new house, if I can just get a better house, then I'm going to be happy. If I can just get that one vehicle, then I'm going to be happy. If I can get that one job, then that will be the mark of it, and then I will be happy. If I could just accrue these things in life, then I would be happy. And people are never happy. They never wind up happy. They never end up happy. Amen. They think to themselves, if I can just have that one girl, I'll be happy. And that girl's thinking, if I could just have that one guy, then I would be happy. Amen. That doesn't attribute, that doesn't equate to happiness. And then we oftentimes find them, amen, in such bliss and such disarray, amen, and then winding up in states of divorce and all of these other things, amen. The divorce rate is so high, it has superseded, amen, the rate of people staying together. And so now people just say, well, we just won't get married because the chances are we're going to wind up divorced anyway. Because there's no happiness in it. They fight like cats and dogs. Amen. I have known of millionaires that had everything, fine homes and such. But yet when they got on the inside of the homes, they would fight and fight and fight and fight. Money did not produce happiness. (Clears throat) If I can just get a better job, I'll be happy. If I could just make more money, I'll be happy. If I could just this, that, whatever it is, then I could be happy. Amen. When David just simply said, amen, this is the crux of all of the matter. Amen. Happy is the man, amen, whose God is the Lord. Say, what does all of this mean? It means that no matter what happens tomorrow, my times are still in his hands. Praise God. And if you go to work in the morning and everybody is given the pink slip and the boss says, hey, I don't know what to tell you, but we're all going under. Amen. And everybody's going to walk away and think to themselves, I don't know. I had a friend and he worked in the oil rigs and the oil fields and such. And he would make so much money even as in his teens, 19, 18, 19 and 20 years of age. And in the early age, I remember when him and his cousin and they got this job straight out of high school, and they thought to themselves, we're making loads of money. You want me to tell you how much money they were making? They were making so much money, they shared an apartment together. Amen. But they would go and they would buy dishes at Walmart or wherever else like that, and they would eat them and just throw them in the trash because, man, we got so much money, we just go buy new ones. And so many of those young men and such would follow in those footsteps and such. And my friend, he was able to get through it because there's good times and bad times. And he told me one time, he said, you know what just makes me sick is that these young guys that come in and they start making excellent money and they go out and they buy that brand spanking new Ford F-250, F-350, amen, that Chevy GMC Denali package. Whatever it is, they got a $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 car. Amen. And they're thinking to themselves, man, I am so happy. And they walk in smiling from ear to ear to get a pink slip and said, hey, you're part of the layoff. He said, and so many of them have filed bankruptcy and they've lost everything that they had. And it's simply because they're looking for happiness in the dollar somewhere. They're looking for happiness, amen, in all of the things that they can accumulate to themselves. Amen. But what's here today is blown with the wind, tomorrow burnt with the fire. Amen. Tomorrow and gone before it can ever become something. Because happiness is not in those things. And Solomon, in a disgruntled way, would look and say, look, if you want to talk about getting your way, I got my way. That's some people's mode of happiness. Amen. I'm just going to do it my way. I just want to get my way. And you force every door and you push everything and you get everything your way and you're just like Solomon walking around disgruntled. Amen. Not happy anymore because happiness isn't in those things. Amen. And Solomon would come to the end of life and he would say, hear the matter. This is the conclusion. This is everything that I've learned. He said, just love God, keep his commandments, and this is the whole duty of man. David said, it's not a duty for me. One thing have I desired, and that will I seek after. He said, I've hid the word in my heart that I might not sin against God. Why? Because happy is the man whose God is the Lord. Amen. We just need to make sure that we're content with whatever God has given us. Amen. And you may not have very much, but if you've got God, you've got everything. You may not have, amen, a bunch of money in the bank account, but if you're paying the bills and you've got God, you've got everything. You may not have a brand spanking new Lamborghini, but if you've got wheels that get you to work and you've got God, you've got everything. You've got more than the millionaire has. You've got more than Bill Gates has. You've got more than Elon Musk will ever have when you've got God as your God. Let's take this a step further. Because here's the next step that happens. People come into the house of God and they came in with a broken life. They came in with broken marriages, broken families, brokenness. Teens come in broken. Broken. Come down to the altar and God gives them a brand new life. Brand new life. They're excited. You can't keep them still.
You can't keep them still. They're jumping up and down. They're running the aisles. They're there for prayer. They're there for prayer meeting. They're there for everything. They're one of the last ones to leave just because they're, you say they're happy. They're excited. Excited is a moment. Happiness is a mood. But you know what? Living for God is not always running the aisles. Living for God isn't always feeling chill bumps running down, up and down chill bumps. Living for God isn't feeling the hair on the back of your neck stand up as you feel the power of God radiating through the place. Sometimes those things happen and those things are exciting. Those times are exciting. Living for God is not necessarily, you know, speaking in tongues all the time and just, I'm glad that we do those things. That's building up our faith, praying in the Holy Ghost and such. But you know what? Life is still life. Life doesn't change. But you see, there's a mentality that says, well, you know what? Something must be wrong with the church because I'm not happy anymore. No, you're not excited anymore. That's the problem. You're not excited anymore. The newness of things has worn off. Well, I just thought that living for God, that, you know, that I was going to, you know, be a 100,000-aire. Some of you, that gives you a little bit of hope, huh? If I said millionaire, you'd be like, yeah, I know that ain't happening. I just felt like living for God. You know, he's going to bless me with a six-digit figure, you know, yearly annual income. I just felt like every time that I come to the house of God, you know, that we're going to be running on the top of the pews and rolling all over the floor and jumping and dancing and just sweating and having a great, fabulous, fun time. And obviously that preacher's off or something because that's not happening anymore. I guess there's something wrong with the church because that's not happening anymore. And so we start blaming and start looking at fault on every little thing here and there and whatever. And Paul said, whoa, 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 wait a second. Paul said, godliness with contentment is great gain. It's great gain. He would say in another place, he said, I find that whatsoever place I find myself, I'm just going to be content. You go over to the book of, I don't have time to go there, but you go over to the book of Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 10. Paul states, he said, if you want to talk about poverty, I can talk about that. If you want to talk about riches, I can talk about that too. You want to talk about wisdom, I can talk about that. You want to talk about jail cells, we can talk about that. Paul said, I've experienced some of the highest highs that's imaginable. Can you imagine being on your way to work to do whatever you're supposed to do, and all of a sudden a bright light from heaven shining down on you, and all of a sudden a voice out of the heavens begins to speak to you? Whoa. No, Paul did. Paul experienced that. Paul experienced all kinds of things. Great, powerful, powerful things. I guess, you know, I won't say he's the only one, but he's one of the ones that can say, God invited me to church verbally, audibly, told me where to go. It happened. It was unreal. He had a testimony that most of us don't have. Our testimonies are different but similar. Paul's is on a different level. Paul had all kinds of things. We can look at Paul's life and we can say, wow, what a great guy. I mean, he wrote most of the New Testament. Man, wish I could be that one. You know what he said? He said, I was in prison often. I was in perils often. Journeys often. Lonely. Spending nights out in the darkness listening to the prey, listening to the predators of the field as they howled, and the mountain lions and all of those other things, and sleeping in caves and walking in the rain and in the cold. I was in cold and
all of those other things as I went on my missionary, you know, journey, a missionary. Say, Paul went on 2 missionary trips. Paul went on 3 missionary trips. Well, I wished I could do it. You don't wish that you could do anything that Paul did like that. Because Paul didn't have United Airlines. He could purchase a ticket and fly overseas. He didn't get to pick up his cell phone and call an Uber. Say, can you take me over here? And how much is that going to cost? No. He just get up in the morning and start walking. It's raining. Well, it wasn't raining yesterday when I started the walk, but here I am out in the mountains walking through stuff, and it's raining and damp and it's wet. It's cold. It's hot. He said, I was in perils of robbers, perils of journeymen, perils among my brethren, perils oftentimes. He said, you want to talk about this? We can talk about it. You want to talk about that? We can talk about it. He said, I can talk about anything because I've seen it. I've experienced it. I've experienced the lowest of lows. I've experienced the highest of highs. I've experienced seeing miracles happen. I've experienced needing miracles and having them happen to me. But then there's times that I've experienced shipwrecks. Didn't know if anything was going to come out of it. He said, but you know what? He said it like this. He said, what shall separate me from the love of God? Shall highs, money and fame and fortune and all these things, shall they separate me from the love of God? Shall lows, shall death, shall all these, shall they separate me from the love of God? He said, I am persuaded that nothing shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. He said, if I wanted to quit, I'd have quit a long time ago. He said, but here I am at the end of life. And he tells Timothy, he says, bring me the parchment, bring me my coat, my cloak. He said, make sure you hurry up about it. He said, my time is now at hand. He said, but in all of these things, I'm just content. Just content. When he had all kinds of wealth, he was content. When he was as poor can be, he was content. Why? Happy is the man whose God is the Lord. He's a type of individual that when the going is good, he's at an even keel. And when the going is bad, he's at an even keel. You'd have to really take a double look to see Paul on having a bad day because he is just content. Content. And you know, sometimes in this journey and this walk with God, we bring so many of our problems and we are to cast all of our cares upon the Lord, but I'm not talking about casting upon the Lord. Amen. We just come in. We want people to feel sorry for us. We want people to be excited with us. You know, and what all of that, that's good. That's good. But when we start defining our life as, well, my life ain't even worth living, we need to go back to the altar. Well, I don't even know what my purpose in life is. We need to go back to the altar. Well, I don't know. I mean, I used to like this church. This church was great joy. This church was, you know, a whole lot of fun and exciting and stuff like that. But you know what? It's not all of that anymore. We need to go back to the altar. Because living for God isn't all about being excited all of the time. Because there are times that you're not going to be excited. But living for God is happy. Happy is the man whose God is the Lord. Let's stand here tonight. When we get this revelation, when you get this revelation, you're going to experience, mountaintops and you're going to experience valleys. But your emotional roller coaster is going to level out a lot better. I didn't say that your emotional roller coaster isn't going to go up and down, but it's not going to be so extremely high to extremely lows.
Because you're going to learn to be just content. Because no matter what comes my way, no matter what happens in life, Paul said, I've learned to be content. I've learned to be content. He said, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. He said in the book of Hebrews, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You young men, let me just tell you, God wants you to have great jobs. I could tell everybody here in this building, God wants you to have great jobs. Because when you have great jobs, you can bless His kingdom. And you know what? If you don't bless His kingdom, God knows how to bless His kingdom. God knows how to function. But God gives you the opportunity to be blessed while in the process of blessing His kingdom. But it's not all about making all of the money. It's not about having the perfect job, the right one. What matters most is the house of God, living for God. Because when you live for God, you'll have happiness. Because believe me, when you get the perfect job, give it a little bit of time. It won't be so perfect anymore. You'll be looking for another one. And somebody may lure you with more money and all these other little things and stuff, and you may think, oh man, this is great. And you get over there and it's absolutely horrible. You're making more money, excited when you get the paycheck, but you ain't excited come Monday. That's not happiness. Happiness is simply right here. Happy is the man whose God is the Lord. I did a quick search throughout my Bible and the program, and I looked up happy and happiness and things, and it comes up multiple times. The word happy, I think, is there 28 times. Happy as the as children are, it talks about being fruit of the womb, and he said they are as arrows in a man's quiver. Happy is the man that hath this quiver full of them. He can speak with the enemy and the gates. There's all kinds of times that the word happy is used. But you know the word excited, it's not in the Bible. Because it's not God to try to excite you. It's God's will to try to make you happy. God wants you to be happy. And when you're happy, you're going to have exciting times. But if it's not exciting, you can still be happy in the Lord. And I'm so thankful that I found happiness in the work of God. Amen. Praise God. These altars are open. If you want to come up, talk to the Lord for here a little while tonight. Amen. Just set your priorities. Maybe you need to get your priorities right. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these other things will be added unto you. Seeking after God first. I may not have the exact job I want, you say, but if you can be in the house of God every time the doors are open, you'll be happy. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, we've got time to talk to the Lord. You may not have everything that you want in life. Life may not have gone exactly like you thought that it would. Life may not be what you think that it should be. But if you're still in the house of God, you're still living for God, you got a whole lot to be thankful for. Won't you just spend some time being thankful to God? Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your word that begins to align things around.